what they'd done until the Lord saved them. But we're going to talk about somebody that did know something about the Bible today. And if you don't know, this is where I think hope comes from. If you don't know anything about the Bible, then that's okay. We didn't either when we first got in. And, you know, people say, well, I come here knowing it all. Well, we're not talking about you then. We'll set you to the side. The rest of us didn't know nothing about God until we learned it. Amen? It's kind of like math. I didn't know 2 plus 2 till I learned it. And then they said, hey, not only can you know 2 plus 2, you can know 2 plus 3. And I thought, well, hallelujah. And I learned that. And that's how we learn about the Word of God, isn't it? A verse at a time, a chapter at a time, a truth at a time, a doctrine at a time. God takes us and teaches us and molds us and makes us. And so I do encourage, because I know that feeling. I think I told you last time that I saw the pastor that I got saved under his preaching. And we was at the ball game and we was having a time. We was having revival, talking about the goodness of the Lord, because I hadn't seen him in so long. But, you know, it really, you'll find, you'll look back and you'll see things that meant so much to you and still do today, because God done something in your life right there. You don't know when today may be your day. See, I don't know, and Brother Ike don't know, who God's dealing with. What's going on in your family? What's going on in your finances? What's going on in your heart? Sometimes the old heart gets so heavy, Brother Donnie, it just begins to all cave in and pile in, and your heart gets heavy, and God wants to do something. He's saying through troubles. God says it through troubles and adversity. And remember the place where the Word said, if thou faint in thy day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, we faint because our strength is small, don't we? And so our strength fails us, but God's strength never does. And so we have strength through Him. I'm going to show you in the Word where Joshua, I preached about Joshua a little while back, and I'm not preaching the same message, but I do want to continue a little bit on the thought of this, because I was coming back through here the other day, and God was reminding us of some things that really need preaching. They need preaching for the radio, and I will preach them for the radio later. But look with us in the book of Joshua. I know we talked earlier about some things. We're going to move on a little bit and see some things, other things maybe that God would have us look at. But in the 13th chapter, I was preaching a series coming through the book of Exodus for the radio, and it was talking about how God brought the children of Israel out. And God led them, and God clothed them, and God fed them, and God watered them, and God gave them manna, and God gave them everything they needed. And God delivered them, and God parted the Red Sea. And at every hurdle, here's what happens. At every hurdle they got to, it was like, oh my God, what do we do now? Don't that sound like our life? Something happens, and we say, what do we do now? And they look up, and God would rescue. If we can grab a hold of that pattern, whatever's going on in your life today, God's got the answer for it. Amen? And so He's got it through prayer, and He's got it through His Word. And, you know, this is what the Scripture's talking about when He said, these things were written, Paul said, for what? For our admonition and learning. And so we learn, and we're admonished by the Word. And Joshua here, if you recall, Joshua, I'm going to give you a little bit of a background on him. Joshua was called as a very young man. And God called him to be the minister of some fella in the neighborhood. I don't know if y'all remember this man in the camp of Israel. But God called him to be the minister of, oh, who was it? Oh, it was Moses, right? And so God said, Joshua, your job is to minister to Moses. Whatever Moses needs, Moses gets. If Moses sends you to fetch this, you go fetch it. To go do that, you go do it. And Joshua is the minister of Moses. Let's never forget that. And Joshua is the only person that went up on the mount of God with Moses. Now, he stopped at a point. He didn't go to the high point. He wasn't there when God gave him the stones and wrote them with his finger. That's right. God wrote the stones, the Ten Commandments, with the finger of God. But I tell you, Joshua was there, and he went up the mount with him. And he knew, I'm not saying he was there in the Shekinah glory that Moses was, but he knew the glory fell down.
And all of these things, he is the right hand of Moses. But Moses is now gone. See, there's going to be a day when there's not a Brother Ike, and there's not a Brother Sammy, and there's not these old patriarch preachers that we point back to. I called Brother John the other morning, and I've called him in the morning so much I can't talk to him. And I thought, well, I'll call him in the afternoon, maybe around 3, that medicine is wearing off. And so the ladies, they're always courteous. I said, let me go in and get him. And so they went in to get him, and I could hear him in the background. They're waking him up. Brother John, you got a phone call. You got a phone call. And he's just too sleepy and too out of it to talk. And she told me, she said, he can't talk. He can't talk. So there's an old saint of God that I have called religiously. Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning, and we'd talk about the Word of God and preach to each other. And I've got a stack of books he sent me, books that would help me through the ministry. And it's preached revival after revival, and any time I needed him, he was there, just like he was for you. But see, the time's come that God is going to move him on and graduate him. And so there has to be other men to take the place. And that's who Joshua was. And so remember the time when he said this. He said, Moses, my servant, where was he? God told him, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's expired. He's graduated. He's went on home. So Joshua here, see this in the 13th chapter. I'm going to bounce around a little bit because this book is about Joshua's life. It points to the end. It points back and forth. Almost like if we were sitting on the porch telling a story. Because that's what it is. Verse chapter 13, verse 1. Joshua was old and well stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And this is the land that remaineth all the borders of the Philistines and Geshurai, however you pronounce that. And so he's stirring him up. He's old. Things are Joshua, we know, was a young man when he ministered to Moses. We got something about the timeline of his life, right? Because we know that he, let's see this. They are coming into the promised land. Remember this, it was all about the promised land. We sing about the promised land, the promised land, the promised land. And the promised land is a type. It's a type of the believer's rest. It's not a picture of heaven because there was giants in the promised land. But there's not going to be any giants in heaven. Amen. There's not going to be any enemies there. So they are conquering. And what's going on in Joshua's life is what's going on in the new believer's life. The new believer, God has brought him across and through the desert. He saved him and ministered to him. And as we grow in grace, God brings us into the promised land. That's the life of the believer. And there's opposition there. And there's family members that don't like it. I remember a time when my mother loves the Lord today, but she didn't understand what happened to her son in 1987 when God saved him and drastically changed him. And she said, you know what? You're going to drive me crazy and you're going to give me a nervous breakdown. I said, well, come, Mama. Well, you're reading your Bible too much. You see it? When the children of Israel come out and went into the land of Canaan, there was opposition. My mama loves the Lord. But she didn't understand. It's going to be people that don't understand you when you declare your life for Christ. They'll celebrate later, maybe. But they're trying to understand. And here they are in the land of Canaan. And there's a lot of giants in Canaan. Lots of giants. Lots of opposition. So God has brought them through some of this opposition. But remember that Joshua was a young man. And there were only two men. Watch this. Only two men that were under the age of 60 that went into Canaan. And that's Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else, every other man was under the age of 60. And here's how we know. God said because they wouldn't believe God. Watch now. You want to see what unbelief will cost you? Because they wouldn't believe God. God said you will not go into the land of Canaan. Joshua believed and Caleb believed. Nobody else believed. And God said, you're going to die in this wilderness.
and no man over the age of 20 shall go. And you're going to stay here 40 years. That means there's only two men over the age of 60 that went into the land of Canaan of all those millions of Jews. Only two men. Isn't that amazing to you? Well, when God says it, Brother Leroy, he means it. When God declares that it's done. And here's Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb hadn't forgot. And he's reminded Joshua. He said, Joshua, you remember we went over there? It's me and you, old buddy. They're both old. They're in their 80s now. They're in their 80s. And he said, Joshua, it's me and you, old buddy, went over there. And we come back. And we told him of the 10 fellows, them hard-headed, rebellious spies. There's 12 spies, wasn't there? One out of every tribe. And he said, we told them other 10 fellows to believe God like we did. Remember that? Remember that, Joshua? You know what Caleb said? He said, we come back across there, and we had a big old pole. And on that pole, said, you remember we had to put them grapes? We had to flip them big old grapes over that pole. That's how big the fruit was there, and the blessings were, and the milk and honey. He said, remember that milk and honey was everywhere. And he said, Joshua, don't forget about the 85 years old, rough guess now. And he said, remember this? He said, we brought them poles on our shoulder, and we come back across that brook with them, and we showed them to the people, and them hard-headed folks still wouldn't believe God. He said, you remember that? He said, but I believed him. And he said, remember Joshua, God gave him the upper springs and the nether springs. It's what he wanted. And Joshua said, whatever you want, old brother, you get it. You believe God with me. And God gave it to him. But Caleb's old, Joshua's old, and all this is yet some things got to be done. And so you see this, we're going to fast forward through just a couple things. He was old, and there remaineth very much land to be possessed. The work never ends, does it? There's souls to win, there's people to reach, there's people to pray for, there's people to trust God for, there's things to do. There's people that's somewhere in this world has never heard the gospel. All that's got to be done. And there's things to do. Joshua's old, but there's still things to be done. And you need to see this because God talks about it. And so we're not going to preach about what happened when he went over and took Jericho. We didn't preach that. We know about Jericho. And we know about Rahab, how Rahab believed God. And she put that scarlet rope. That's a rope, brother. That's a rope they let the spies down with. And I know the Bible calls it a thread, but it's a thread big enough to hold some fellas, ain't it? And them spies shimmied down. They shimmied down. Y'all don't like the darlings, do you? You ever watch Andy Griffith? You remember how them darlings shimmied out the window? Remember that? And so they're shimmying down the rope, and God's getting them out of there. And that scarlet rope was the same scarlet rope. That little woman that believed God, she strung it across the window. When those spies come, the only family of Canaanites that come out of there alive was her folks because she believed God. And God spared her. But here, the land has to be conquered. And so see it now. What happened? Let's back up a little bit from the 13th chapter. You know, we've watched God do things for him. If you look into the 10th chapter, you're going to find that Joshua, he had all kinds of situations. There was places that they conquered. Now remember, this land that he's conquering is going to become the land of Israel. And as he conquers it, over across the river, there was 2.5 tribes that said, look, we'll take our blessing over here. We like it over here. We got cattle, man. There's some fine pastures. And Moses was okay with that. And so the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh stayed over on the east side of town and conquered that land. But there's 9.5 tribes that still have to take their inheritance. And so we know the Levites, God was their inheritance. You know, they didn't get a piece of ground other than the 48 suburbs and the cities that God gave them there. That was their possession. So, not to confuse the point, remember there was a time the battle was so fierce. You see this in the 10th chapter. We're not going to take time to read all of this. But you'll see it in the 10th chapter that this is so fierce. And they're at war with Gibeon. And you'll find it here. Look into the 12th verse. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites. And he said in the sight of Israel, Joshua, I'm going to tell you, you can live with confidence in your Christian walk.
your prayer life can have confidence, church. You say, I don't know if I can believe God, preacher. You can. You can live in such a way and love God in such a way and hang on to His Word in such a way that you can do what Joshua did. And so he needs more daylight. And so, you know, they don't have big spotlights they can just crank up the generator and run them. No, he needs some light. And so he cries out to God in the 12th verse. And he said, Son, stand still. And you know what happened? God made the sun stop right where it was. And God gave him some extra time. Watch this. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. That's an extra 24 hours where I come from, where the sun stayed still. He said, oh, preacher, you know what the scientists would say? Well, that would mess up our orbit, and, you know, we got to compensate for that. And that couldn't dare happen because, you know, the world would fly apart and we would all be floating out in space. It's God's sun and God's moon, and it's God's earth. You know, the little children sing the song, He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got the whole world in His hand. Well, He's got the sun in His hand too, Brother Danny. And He says, Son, stop, stand still. And the sun, would God do that for you? He's no respect to persons but God. That's what Romans said. True or false? Is that true? Word of God's right. What would God not do for His people? Now, that was in the Bible. He'd never do it for me. Well, if you don't ask Him, He's sure He's going to do it. But Joshua asked Him. And then we read things like this. Ask and it shall be given unto who? Unto you. Jesus said, ask. He said, hitherto you've asked me nothing. Couldn't you see the Lord squinting a little bit, looking at Him and says, you hadn't asked me nothing. You disciples, hitherto you've asked me nothing. But I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Bless God, I'd have been getting my pen, writing down some things to ask for, wouldn't you? Jesus said, ask, just preaching what He said. And here when Joshua asked, he said, Lord, he said, we need some help. He said, the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves. And there was no day like that day before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man. And the Lord fought for Israel. You know what I need, brother? I need God to fight my battles, because I sure can't fight them. I need God's strength to go. I need God's light to be led by. And God's divine protection. Watch now. Joshua's in such a place. Remember, they have come over this land. He's old. Caleb's old. And they're reminiscing about some things God's done. And Joshua stayed. He was a man of war. He stayed in war. You said, well, what about when those 40 years was up and he went into the land of Israel? That's when he started fighting. Yeah, he had to fight them. And some of those countries were wise enough, Brother Donnie. They understood we can't whip them. See, this is what we need to understand about God. We can't whip Him, so we ought to make a league with Him. Remember the Gibeonites in the 9th chapter? Those Gibeonites said, hey, tell you what, let's do. Let's pretend we're Israelites, and we'll go down there and make a deal with them. And we'll pull a fast one on them. And so they made a deal. The Gibeonites made a deal with Joshua. Joshua swore to him. Now, when he swore to him, he's going to keep his word. And so he found out what they were doing, and he swore to him. And so therefore they didn't destroy them because they promised them they wouldn't destroy them. And God heard it. And that was back when a man's word was his bond. He kept his word to him. And so you know what happened? He said this. And so those Gibeonites were servants to the Israelites all their days. And you know what happened? They were the happiest servants you ever saw. They said, bless God, we ain't dead. We're alive and we're glad to be working. Amen. And so there wasn't much of a welfare system back then. So you've got people today who wouldn't like that, you know. But that's the way it was. Remember, there were some tribes. I'm skipping around a little bit. But if you remember, there were some children of Israel that come and said, look, you know, we don't have enough land. And our part ain't big enough. You know, always people complain, ain't they? And they said, Joshua, that inheritance you gave us, it ain't much to it. I wish I could flip over real quick and show you this. And so as Joshua said, look, he said, if it ain't big enough, son, get up in the wood and take you some more land. You know, it's there for the taking. It's like this country. It's there for the taking. We don't need a bigger welfare system. We need to take care of those that cannot take care of themselves. But those that can take care of themselves need a quick little swift swat in the tail and tell them to get out there and take it. That's what Joshua said. He said, hey. He said, it's up there, it's yours for the taking. If you don't like what we gave you, then go take it. Yeah. Do some more conquering. Yes. And so it wasn't any welfare system where Joshua lived. It was like, go out there and get her done. And that's the way we are in the gospel way. If we want more, we can have it. I'm talking about more of him. Yeah. You see, preacher, I'd like to know more about the Bible. It's there for the taking. Like to be a better prayer warrior. It's there for the taking. All of these things. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights. In whom, watch now, is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's what James said. And so every good and perfect gift from above. Everything we want. See, this is where Joshua and Caleb, just to say a few more things about them. They believed God when nobody else would. We have to have that. I don't care what people say. You know, this young man that's in the four-wheeler wreck, we've got to believe God. You've got to pray the prayer of faith and believe God. Because outside of God's tender mercy, something tragic, more tragic may happen. But God's people have to believe God. They have to hang on to the Word of God and believe it. And that is what the prayer of faith is all about. And so we see this now. Joshua is believing. Watch now. Look over to the 24th chapter. I'm going to read 23:1. It came to pass after, a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old and stricken in age. And so he admonished them in the 23rd chapter. And then we see it in the 24th chapter where he gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders. And he is recanting what God has done. And he talked about Abraham in the 3rd verse, how God took and brought him and multiplied his seed. As a matter of fact, the very land where Abraham lived is the very land that God promised Abraham, is the very land God gave his seed. And you know, and it's the same very land that God has maintained for his seed even today. The borders haven't changed. God hasn't changed his mind and said, well, I told you over there, but the men over here. And so for thousands of years, God has kept his word to who? To Abraham. And he's reminding them of this. And God said, I gave, look in the 4th verse, I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And then in the 5th verse, I sent Moses, also in Aaron, and plagued Egypt. Joshua was there when that happened. He remembers those plagues. And he's old now. Joshua was 110 years old when he died. He was a young man. We know he was under 60 when he went into the land of Canaan to take it. And so we find it here, or over 60 rather. And he was in his 80s then. Now he's just 25 years later. There's been 25 years of conquering the promised land. And Joshua here is giving them his last charge. And see what he said. These things that God has done. And your eyes have seen them in verse 7, what I've done in Egypt. And thou hast dwelt in the wilderness a long time, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites. And I gave them into your hand, verse 8. And then he talked about Balak. I want to say something about Balak for a moment. Because Jude mentions Balak. 2 Peter mentions Balak. Or Balaam, rather. He talks about the arrow of Balaam. The different things that Balaam done in his theories, how he done things for reward. And I'm going to tell you, there are people out there today that are marketing the gospel for reward. That's what Balaam done. That was the error of Balaam. He wanted Balak, the king of Zippor's blessing, if he would curse the children of Israel, who he knew. He knew God wasn't going to curse the children of Israel. But he thought, if I will play the game and go through the act and do it, then old brother Balak, the king of Zippor, the Canaanite king, he'll bless me and I'll get the material blessing. But I know he's already known. Why? Because he is on that donkey. He is on that donkey and coming through the vineyards there, and God smote him and that donkey fell over on his side. He saw the angel of God. Balaam couldn't see it because he's blinded by reward. And that's the error of Balaam, the gainsaying. And so watch now. He mentions right here Balak and Balaam, or Balaam rather, and this is what he said about him. That Balak arose and warred against Israel. See, if you only read, now this will help you in your Bible study. If you only read what you see in Numbers 22 to 25, it may not come crystal clear what happened and where the error was. I'll never forget as a Christian, a new Christian, reading that. And I thought, well, Balaam looks pretty good there, don't he, Brother Donnie? He looks pretty good. He's like he done the right thing. But here we find if we don't read it in Revelation, we don't read it in 2 Peter, and we don't read it in Jude, it's why we need to read the whole counsel of God. That's why we need to read the Bible front to back and start to finish. And people say, well, you don't need the Old Testament. Yes, you do. You do need it. Amen. It's going to encourage you. It's going to build up your faith like the things we're preaching today. If God done it for Joshua, he'll do it for me. If God done it for Caleb, he'll do it for you. See, that encourages, that fortifies our faith, because here they are. If people say, preacher, I'm older and God can't use me. Yes, he can. He delights in using older people. Young people, older people, he does not discriminate for age. Isn't that a blessing? He wants to use you. And here, Balaam, the word said, God said, I would not hearken unto Balaam. Why? Because he's cursing the children of Israel. And God said, I would not hearken unto him. Although Balak has called him and sent him to curse you. See, there's people out there today that would like to curse the church. Believe it or not, there's God haters. There are people that are anti-Christ today. Even Paul said, many antichrists are come. Don't be looking for just one antichrist. There's many antichrists. Hate the church. Hate the gospel. Hate the word. Hate the liberty. Hate the fact that this country we live in was founded upon a King James Bible. Amen. And even before that. And the pilgrims didn't come across with the King James Bible. I believe they come across with the Geneva Bible. But it's God's Word. Amen. And so on that thought, you know, it's not that King James has the monopoly on God. It's just that he called the 54 scholars to do a word-for-word translation. And so we had good Bibles before then. The Geneva Bible was a great Bible. It came across on the Mayflower. Nothing wrong with the Geneva Bible. And so when the Gospels was all there was in the Old Testament, that was a good Bible too, wasn't it? Yeah. And when Joshua reads God's Word back in his day, you know what he had? He had the five books of Moses. Now, Moses was dead, so we know the five books of Moses were written, don't we? That's all he had. He had a good Bible too, didn't he? And so we can't get hung up on, oh, the perfect Bible. You know what the perfect Bible is? It's God's Word. It's God's Word for the age of that time. And I love the King James Bible. I encourage everybody to read it. And don't say it's too hard to understand. It's not too hard to understand. Pray over it and use some cross references and get in some good Bible studies. And all of these things will come to make sense to you. It's the best Bible we have for today. But I'm going to tell you, whatever they had in that age, that was the best Bible. We cannot get hung up on some man and some, try to put everybody in a box. Because, you know what, and against what some would believe, they didn't have a King James Bible in Joshua's day. They had the five books of Moses. So what God's given us is what we need. But the best Bible for today is the King James Bible. And so we're just not worshiping King James, and we're not worshiping any works of man. So see this. Joshua's charging them.
Look what happened in verse 12. God said, I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with the sword and not with the bow. Not with thy sword, not with thy bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor. God give us this heart, because we live in the age of I. Me and mine, I. And you know what that promotes? Flesh and self. And then you know why there's preachers today that have a attitude that they're bigger than God? Because they have taken the same attitude that Lucifer took in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Remember the five I wills of Satan? And Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High God. And all of these things, I will. Watch out for the eyes, church. Because God said, we don't need more eyes. We need more us's. The body. We need the corporate church. We need brothers and sisters working together for the cause of Christ. There are people that you can reach. Brother Ike and Brother Donnie, you'll never be able to reach. Because he don't know them. But you do. And you'll get them. You know what I think about old Brother Steve Orr? Brother Steve Orr led me to Christ. And as some other people influenced me, Brother Steve Orr really, after I got saved, he really helped me grow. Brother Steve, I hadn't talked to him in 30 years. But I'll never forget what he done for me. You know what he done? He just done what God led him to do at the time. And he's never called me and said, hey, where's my accolades? Or my prize or my present. And you know, his pastor didn't even know me, so his pastor couldn't do anything for me. See, you know people that your pastor don't know. Only you can help them. Only you can guide them. And if you don't guide them, then where are they going to get it? And so, and here we see this. All these things in the Word. Watch what God said. He said, you didn't do it. I sent the hornet. I drave them out. And it's what this brings is humiliation in the heart of the believer. The last thing we want to do is be lifted up. People say, well, you know, I learned all of these Bible verses. Well, God helped you. God gave you the sense to retain them and to understand them and read them. And so God said, I've given you a land for which you did not labor. Now here, I want to change the tune right here a little bit. And I want you to think about this. She said, preacher, I don't have anything, or I have very little. I wonder about this and worry about that. When we walk with the Lord, where does every good and perfect gift come from? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights. And God said, I gave you a land for which you did not labor. I gave you all of these things, vineyards, oliveyards, which you planted not, do you eat? See, when they come into the land of Israel, there were cities that were already built. They inherited them. Because the Canaanite had to go. So they either made a deal with the children of Israel and got along with them and labored for them, or else they killed them. That was your option. And so they inherited these cities that they didn't build. They were like, my God, this is nice. Look at what the Lord gave us. And all of these oliveyards, olives everywhere. And I'm sure they were some fig bushes, sis. Inherited them fig. Boy, I would have liked to have had a big old fig vineyard, wouldn't you? And so all of these things that they inherited, just like me and you, God gave them to them. See, we think we do it. But God's reminding them, Joshua is, that God did it. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity. I'm going to close right here in this chapter. Fear the Lord and serve Him. Put away the gods of your fathers that served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt, serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you'll serve. Joshua said, make a decision. My God, if you want to live like a heathen, just make a decision to live like a heathen. If you want to serve those false gods, go serve them. You know, sometimes we just need the plainness of the authority of God's word and says, you know, either get on board, if you want to live like the devil, go for it. It's going to doom you. It's going to damn you. But God did give you a choice, didn't he? God gives us the ability to choose. He said, choose you this day, verse 15. You know what's going to happen today? God's going to put his hand on some hearts in this room, and he's going to call you. He's going to tenderly call you. He's going to call you unto himself. Invitation time, that's what that is. And so you know what happens? Sometimes people white knuckle, and they hold on, and they don't want to go. And they fear, and they go later. Some go at another time, some never go at all. But Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Choose. And the last part of that verse said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's God, isn't it? And if you keep reading this, you're going to find out where Joshua took the gospel away from him. Watch this. I said last verse, forgive me. See this. And he said this in verse 19. Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. He's a holy God, and he's a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions for your sin. Do you see the satire in Joshua's voice? And if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he's going to turn and do you hurt and consume you. And the people said, "Whoo, Joshua, don't take it away. We want it." He said, "We want the mercy of God." You know, sometimes when you think it's totally up to you, then you know you got all your life to get right with God, but you really don't. Because when the Holy Ghost quits drawing, the Spirit quits calling, you can't come. You can't come. He said, I thought I could get right with God whenever I want to. When he's calling, you can. But when he quits calling, you can't. And that's what Joshua was illustrating. And the people said, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And he said, well, you're witnesses against yourselves, in verse 22, that you've chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Let's stand together. You know something?